This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, we're going to start a new 12-week series. I'm going to teach on a series of growing into lifestyle prayer. I'm excited. You know, it's not just want to teach, but that, I mean, even as I think about it, prepare it, inspire me to pray more because it's so important. I'm excited because I always thought about teaching prayer. You know, I have taught prayer here and there, but not really a series, and it really helped me to understand even more what this prayer is about. I mean, it's something that we have been doing, but that, you know, just putting it into thought and causing us to go even deeper. Okay, it's going to be a 12-week series, and I believe it's so vital because this is who we are, you know, as a house of prayer, as a community. But more than that, you know, say, yeah, I know some people say, so what if I'm not in a house of prayer? Or no. The most important is that every believer is called to pray. It's not an option. There's no exception. So more than just that it's important because this is who you are as a house of prayer. This is who you are as a One Thing Ministry. But that this is who we are as a believer. Everyone is called to pray. There's no exception. It's not an option. Okay, that's where we need to understand, because prayer is more than just a function. Prayer is more than just a strategy. You know, telling me that we are all familiar, don't even need to turn to. We are all familiar with Isaiah 56, verse 7. Jesus quoted three times where he said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations." No, this is more than just a function. This is the identity of the very people of God. We are primarily the sons of God, the bride of Christ, and house of prayer. Eternally, we will be called the house of prayer. More than just house of prayer, we will be walking in our position as and our identity as a house of prayer. So prayer is more than just a function. Yes, it's a very important discipline of believer. There are a few disciplines that is important for us to live out and practice. But this is the fundamental discipline of every believer. Because prayer is foundational in connecting us with God. You know, it's a vehicle. It's the key. It's the fundamental and the foundational discipline that actually connect us with God. I will build it a little bit more. The depth of our walk and relationship with God is correlated to the quality of our prayer life. It is that important. You read all the biblical characters that are intimate with the Lord, they spend much time in prayer. Not our understanding of their boring monologue, one-way prayer, but they spend a lot of time praying, talking to God. That's why this is so important. This is more than just, prayer is more than just a function. Prayer is more than just a strategy. Prayer is more than just because Jesus is coming back. You know, the whole world is going to fall apart. He's going to do great things. So the church need to pray. No, eternally we will be praying. It's fundamental. It's foundational. That's why my prayer for us, even this 12 weeks, is that I hope that we'll be inspired to pray. And we do not just do pray. We will become a person of prayer. You'll become a people of prayer. But yet there's something that's unique, because last year I shared, God give us an invitation for 2016 to grow into a new level of intimacy with Him as well as in prayer. In fact, through one of our very dear friend, Alice Smith, she is one of the most intimate person with God that I ever know. Of course, I don't know everybody, but she's one of the most intimate. She sent me an email and said, in 2016, God is going to give us an apostolic grace to grow in intimacy with God and in prayer. I say, what's apostolic grace? I have no idea, but I know it's good. It's great. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to press into it. Say, yes, God, if you give me the invitation, you are releasing the apostolic grace to grow into intimacy with you and to grow in prayer. I don't care anybody is doing it. I am doing it. I'm jumping into it. I'm saying yes. And I want to challenge, encourage and exhort or whatever, advice and so on, strongly or whatever, you know, jump into it. Tap on this grace that God is giving unto us. Most importantly, He's inviting us to grow. I say He's inviting us to grow because whether it's intimacy with God or prayer, it's not going to happen automatically. It will not. I'm going to end by talking about that, but it will not happen automatically. And we must not wait for a zap. We have to be intentional. We have to be diligent because it requires time and effort. How do you grow in prayer? The only way to grow in prayer is to pray. That's it. You don't have to pray, wait for a zap. No, wait until you know this dynamic zap, then I start praying. No, we have to be intentional. We have to be diligent, and it requires time and effort. Yes, God give us grace. In fact, He promised us apostolic grace to grow in intimacy and in prayer. But how much and how far we grow is determined by our hunger and our desire and our pressing in. No, the hunger and the desire and the pressing in is not earning it. Because God let us decide how much or how near and how close we are and how deep is our prayer life is decided by us. So God gives an invitation. We have to say yes. That's why there will always be different measure, different depth of people who have intimacy with God. Some deeper, some not so deep. It's simply because of intention, desire, and hunger. So I want to encourage us to press in because no one can decide for us. No one can choose for us. No one can cultivate for us. Luke chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus said, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part. Jesus cannot choose for Mary. Choose for Mary. Or Jesus cannot decide on behalf of Mary. God cannot decide for us. He can invite us. He will give us grace. But we have to decide. We have to choose. And at the end of the day, we got to do it. And no one can cultivate for us. That's why I like the parable of the 10 virgins. In verse 9, the 5 wise virgins told the 5 foolish virgins, go and buy for yourself. Go and buy oil for yourself because no one can zap you and suddenly, no, you will fall on the floor if someone is anointed, unless the person don't push. You will receive some anointing, but no zap can help you to grow in intimacy with the Lord and in the quality of your prayer life. You have to cultivate. You have to press in. So I challenge and exhort us to be intentional, to be diligent, and to put in time and effort because it's worth it. It's something that if you cultivate, no one can take away from you. Money comes and goes. Popularity, fame comes and go. Conference comes and go. Money, whatever, you know, everything comes and go. But if it's something that you have cultivated that's in your inner life, no one can take away from you. No one can rob away from you because it's inside, it's within you, it's yours. So take this seriously. Be diligent, be intentional, and be determined because there will be distraction. It will be, okay? I'm going to take 12 sessions to talk about cultivating a lifestyle of prayer. Let me just briefly run through what I'm going to do, okay? Today, I'm going to talk about God's invitation unto us to pray, okay? Primarily, I want to define what is prayer because it's so vital for us to define correctly so that we will go beyond doing of something. Prayer become boring. Prayer is not sustainable when it is something that we are doing. You know, I hated prayer. No, not now. Thank God. Because it's like monologue. It's like you're talking to someone that you don't see. I mean, I don't know about you. In my case, a lot of time, God does not respond and He doesn't answer the prayer. So it's kind of like a routine. So I hated prayer. And my question to God is always, who invented prayer? Man, Okay, so it's so important for us to define what is prayer correctly. My goal is to demystify. You know, many people try to mystify Christian discipline. And because it's so mystified, after a while, most people don't want to do it because it's like, man, I'm not Sidney Jacob. I'm not Chuck Pierce. I'm not who is the guy who recently came. I'm not Francis Chan. I'm not Mike Baker. So I'm not going to pray. No, I'm going to demystify because everybody can do it. It's so simple. It's because of grace, because of God. Everybody can do it. So I'm going to define what is prayer, why prayer, and some fundamental principle of prayer. Okay. Next week, I'm going to talk about our eternal identity as a house of prayer. Isaiah 56, verse 7. My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. Okay. On the surface, when you read that verse, seems like some function, something that we do. No, this verse go beyond something that we do. It defines our eternal identity. But there is a good news. Maybe to some it's bad news. You know, we have this idea that prayer will cease when Jesus comes back. No. Eternally, we will be praying. Because that is the way that God relates with us. And that is the way that God partners with us forever through prayer. So I say, for some it's good news, for some it's bad news. And man, forever we'll be praying. I thought when Jesus comes back, whew, no more prayer, no more fasting. I'm not too sure whether we will still fast eternally. Let me go and do some more research. I don't know, you know. Well, you know, if there is a requirement to fast in eternity, I think it must be good. Because in eternity, everything is perfect. So must be perfect fast. You don't feel weak. You don't feel hungry. When you close your eyes, you don't see chicken wing. Okay. Yeah, okay. So that's next week. I'm going to talk about our eternal identity as a house of prayer. Then session 3, I'm going to talk about praying from the position of abiding. Because it's so important. Yes, there is the place to pray from a place of petitioning. But more and more, God is teaching the church to pray from the position of abiding. It's from the position of intimacy with Him. It's called bridal intercessions. It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. It's not because of music. Music helps. But enjoyable prayer that Isaiah 56 verse 7 talk about is not primarily about good music. Then Paul was in prison. I'm sure there's no music. So he must be enduring prayer. No, enjoyable prayer is praying from the position of abiding. You're engaging and interesting God. Boring me, engaging the heart of interesting God. That is enjoyable prayer. And to me, that is a great mystery and glory of prayer. Interesting God wants to talk to boring me. Man, that inspired me, okay? So that is praying from a position of abiding. Session 4, I'm going to talk about growing in effective prayer. That's where I want to explain what is the difference between anointed prayer and effective prayer. Such a scripture. The Bible never mentioned one time anointed prayer. To me, I am not concerned about whether my prayer is anointed or not anointed. I'm concerned about my prayer is effective. So we're going to talk about what is effective prayer. 1 John 5, John talks about effective prayer. James 5, James talks about effective prayer. A lot of time we focus so much on anointed prayer, and what I say is wrong, but it's not really biblical. I think we should learn to grow to pray effectively. That is the key. To me, what's the point of having anointed prayer meeting in this room? After 2 hours, nothing happened outside. Good for me. So what if I roll on the floor for 2 hours, I laugh and tears and whatever. I mean, I'm not putting down some of this thing. I think that's important. But to me is that after 2 hours of prayer, even if I feel so good, I touch the heaven, nothing happened outside. To me, the prayer is not good enough. Because I'm not coming for prayer meetings so that I feel good. I'm coming for prayer meetings. I want to engage the heart of God. I want to agree with His will. I want something to change outside this room. If nothing changed, that's not a good prayer meeting, no matter how anointed it is. That's why we need to understand. So I'm going to take session 4 to talk about growing in effective prayer. Session 5, I want to talk about growing in prayer with authority. There's such thing called a prayer with authority. Jesus prayed with authority. Session 6, the Lord's Prayer. the Lord's Prayer, Luke 11, verse 1 to 4, is the foundational apostolic prayer. Okay, unfortunately, I don't know about you, I grew up in a church. I will mention the name. Okay, it's become like a doxology, you know. I can recite the Lord's Prayer because I do it so routine. Okay, a doxology. Usually, I'm quite happy because after singing the Lord's Prayer, that means service is over. I'm going home. Okay, so I'm going to take some time to talk about what is the Lord's Prayer. I call this the Mount Everest of apostolic prayer. It's a must known. It's the foundation of Jesus teaching us how to pray. No, it's not, you know, man, six lines, that's it. You know, how long do I last? Many years ago, I tried praying the Lord's Prayer for 1 hour. I'm done in 5 minutes. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day my daily bread. That I took a long time. Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of bread I need, you know. And a lot of time I told the Lord, Lord, can it be yearly? So that I asked one time, that's it. Okay. Forgive our sin as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not under temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours in the kingdom forever and ever. I can say forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. 5 minutes, I'm done. Okay, it's a powerful prayer. I call it the Mount Everest or apostolic prayer. Then session 7, I talk about the importance of praying with the Word of God. It's essential. Using the Scripture to pray. I put on my Facebook a statement today. Holy fire burns with Holy Scripture. No prayer movement can sustain for long without knowing the Scripture and praying from the Scripture. People thought what sustained prayer is music. No. What sustained prayer is the Scripture and teaching the Word of God, okay? The importance of praying the Word of God. And I want to explain a little bit why we do antiphona. It's because of the Word. Not just because so that we occupy time, you know. No, okay, for some don't know what's antiphona, you will get to know along the way. Section 8, importance of praying in the Spirit. I want to explain. It's important to pray in tongues. It's so important. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, I pray in tongues more than anyone. When he explained about praying in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, he's not forbidding the praying in tongues. The issue in 1 Corinthians 14 is the issue of order. It was out of order. It was in chaos. Paul is basically teaching, how do you pray in tongues in the congregations? Okay, so we're going to take one session, talk about the importance of praying in tongues. Okay, it is so important. Okay, I always tell people, if you can, pray 1 hour in tongues every day. And if you can, no, just include in the 1 hour, sing in tongues. It's so powerful. And it's so nice, okay? Nice for your spirit. Session 9, I'm going to talk about importance of praying before your throne. Not your throne, sorry. Praying before His throne, not your throne, okay? Your throne is irrelevant. Praying before the throne of God. You know why? That is the focus, and that's where our prayer ascend unto. That's where we need to have that target and the focus. No, this is not just some dream, some vague idea. There is a throne in heaven right now, where the prayers of the saints all over nation ascend unto that golden bowl of incense. When we have that reality, we have the confidence that even when we pray weak prayer, I'll explain to you what is weak prayer. It matters. It counts. You know, a lot of time we're going to go away from prayer meeting. It's like, man, the prayer meeting was bad. Does it count? Does it not count? It counts. Weak prayers matters. When you understand where it goes to, that is the key thing, okay? That's session 9. Session 10, I talk about prayer that strengthens our inner man, because that's it. Prayer is so important to strengthen our inner man. Session 11, I want to talk about spiritual warfare in the New Testament. What does the Bible say? A lot of our practices in spiritual warfare actually is not what New Testament teaches. Okay, I'm going to take one session and talk about it. And then the last session now gives you some practical steps. Okay, let's begin. Let's begin. God inspire our heart, stir our heart, cause us to desire to pray, to talk to you, to connect with your heart. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to begin by just defining what is prayer. It's so important, even though it's a simple discipline. Okay, some say silly. It's true. I grew up, I find it very silly. I say, mere talking in the room to nobody can change history. It's too simplistic. No, but it's true, okay? But we need to define correctly what is prayer. Because defining correctly will cause us to go beyond just doing something. Or that we say, yeah, it's a good, it's a requirement for every good Christian. That's what I was taught. And I thought when I grew up, well, I want to be a good Christian, so I pray 1 hour a day. So that's why, that's just a joke. You know, I say my great tribulation has begun every morning 9 o'clock to 10. You know, because I was a staff, so I tell myself every day I must pray 2 hours. So I have a two season of great tribulation in one day. By 9 o'clock, it's like, oh man, no, my great tribulation is begin. All the rest go down to drink coffee and so on. I say, yeah, I need to be a good Christian. I pray. So it wasn't much enjoyable. It was more enduring. Okay, so it's so I wish someone who had taught me some of this thing. So that, man, I will enjoy, I will press in even deeper. That's why it's so important for us to define correctly. What is prayer? Now, I'm going to give the most simple definition that encompasses every forms of prayer. Yeah, Bible teaches many kinds of prayer, all forms of prayer, all expressions of prayer. Ephesians 6 verse 18 talks about all prayers, all supplications, all intercessions, spiritual warfare, trivially and so on. But everything falls under this principle. It's so important. And I'm going to make it simple because my goal and my desire is to demystify, because prayer is not something that is mystifying. In fact, it's so simple, sometimes we think it's silly. It's so simple, everybody can do it. And you don't require anointing. You just require a mouth and you can talk. That's it. Even your English is not so good like me. You can be a good intercessor. If you don't speak too well, then pray in tongues. It's as simple as that. Okay, I'm going to give you the most simple definition. Fundamentally, prayer is defined as talking with God. No, listen, write down carefully. It's not talking to God. It's talking with God. It's important because there's a huge difference between talking with God and talking to God. I did a lot of talking to God when I grew up as a believer. There's a huge difference because prayer is primarily two-way communication, not one way. So it's not, I mean, yes, there's a place of talking to God, but prayer primarily is talking with God. That means primarily it's a conversation. No, all kinds of prayer. Say, how about trivial? Yeah, you're trivialing to someone, isn't it? If not, that's just called cry, you're sad. Yeah, you're talking to someone. You're engaging someone. And fortunately, that someone is living a life. He's really interesting. He's enjoyable. He's powerful. He's fascinating. And he responds. When he moves his hand, many things happen. So it's about engaging someone. It's talking with God. Primarily, it's like a conversation with God, interaction with God, dialoguing with God. That means talk. You're talking with a person. Not just talking to a person. So in the past, I always make fun of my own 1 hour prayer. I call it Coca-Cola prayer. Yeah, just one way. Coca-Cola, for 1 hour. Because I'm primarily talking to God. I'm basically enduring. Because to me, I'm not even not sure. I'm pretty sure that God is not going to respond. He's going to see how faithful I am to endure that 1 hour so that I can promote myself to be free of that 1 hour of prayer. But no, that's why it's so difficult, because it becomes a monologue instead of the dialogue. Prayer is primarily two-way communication, talking with God. If it's two-way communication, there's two vital elements, which is so huge. That means talking, listening,
vice versa. Talking, listening. You see, a lot of time, we do a lot of talking in prayers. I don't know about you, I did a lot of talking. I hardly listen. And it's hard. I mean, imagine you sit in a room. I mean, later I'll talk about if you pray in a small group. You sit in the room, talking to someone that you don't see, hardly respond, and it's one way. Do you like to go out with someone and you sit there and basically you talk, finish and go back, bye-bye. You haven't even finished your latte. No, it's not. It should be two-way. Worse still, if it's a small group prayer. My prayer is boring. I got to hear Cynthia's boring prayer too. I got to hear Annabelle's boring prayer too. Kind of like boredom multiplied. It's because we are not listening. We are listening. Either we are just doing the one way without the two-way communication. That's why if it's talking with God, it's so vital, these two elements. Talk, listen. Listen, talk. That's why I always tell people, pause, engage, feel, listen to God. The listening to God's response is so vital. Whether I do corporate prayer when I come out to the mic to pray, or on my own personal time, I pray. I do that 10-15 second prayer. I pause. I want to hear God respond. This two element is vital. Talk, listen. Listen, talk. That's where I'm going to probably I'll take the 13th session to talk about how do you hear the voice of God. Because it's so vital. God speak, move my heart. As my heart move, I speak back to him. Sounds like I'm scolding him. No. I speak back to him. And as I speak back to him, his heart move. When his heart move, he respond. He move his hand. Either he answer me or so on and so on. It's talking with God. You know, every time I talk about this, I get so inspired. So I go around. I just walk. You know, that's why prayer is so easy. You can do it anywhere, everywhere, whenever. Even when you are driving. Just that, unfortunately, in our modern world, we have too many distractions. Now plus iPhone. 4G some more. You only need 1G. You don't need 4G. You know it's 1G? One God. So forget about the 4G. You know, I mean, yeah, I know. There's a G. Yeah, I know. People say, don't be backdated. Oh, it's okay. Use a 4G, but focus more on the 1G, the capital big G called God. When you connect well with him, you don't worry about the 4G anymore. It's true. That's why sometimes we got too much distraction, but it's actually so simple. Essentially, you know, this is vital. I want to take a lot of time because we need to break the paradigm. The key is that you are talking with a living person who will respond. He will respond. God is not far, far away. Yeah, people say, yeah, throne is very far, very high. When he say, I can't hear him. No. He is not disconnected with us. He's interested. He has great affection for us. He wants to hear our prayer. It's about talking with a living person. He doesn't just fold his arm. No, he doesn't fold his arm. He listens attentively. He wants to respond. See, a lot of time, we don't hear God respond, but we never give him the opportunity to respond. When we pray, it's like, I mean, my prayer, 1 hour prayer, is torturous, man. It's like now I look back, I can imagine God looking down, Kei Chong, can you just slow down? Pause. I want to talk to you. For me, my mentality is like, if I stop for 1 second, I wasted the 1 hour. I cannot. I must pray 60 minutes, not 59 minutes, 42 seconds, pausing with that 18 seconds to hear God. Hey, I got to make up the 12 seconds or 18 seconds. So it's about talking with God. He responds. I'm enjoying right now, you know. So that's why I find that it's not impossible to do what Paul said. Pray without ceasing. I mean, I can't do it when I sleep yet. But that every moment, you can talk to God. He will respond to you. All we need to is to set our heart towards him. That's why this is so important. We have to engage and connect with a living person. Constantly. regularly. That's essentially what prayer is about. Prayer is not doing something. Prayer is about relating with someone. It's about engaging and connecting with a living person who has great interest in us. Come on. We have no idea how interesting God is. Why he bothered to listen to boring me. Wow. That is prayer. We have no idea. It's about engaging and connecting with a living person. Write this down if you want to. Prayer is primarily relational than functional. We got to break this paradigm. If not, it will always end up a strategy. Yes, there is a place for functional. There's a place for contending, for a breakthrough and so on. But at the end of the day, why are we contending breakthrough for Singapore? It's because God has a heart for Singapore. It's about agreement. We are basically partnering with him, agreeing with his heart for Singapore. Just that he counts us worthy to invite us to partner with him through prayer. And come on, I kind of look at it, man, that's easy. Just talk only. That's easy. I can do it. That's easy. And I take credit for it. Wow. So prayer is primarily relational than functional. Yes. No, I say, how about answer prayer? No, answer prayer is beyond. But answer prayer is the result of God's desire to relate and partner with us. It's the result. There are many forms of answer prayer. As we pray, God hear, he answer, he transform our heart. He set us free. He caused us to grow. He bless our circumstances. He saved the lost. He bring revival. He released justice, so on and so on. But primarily, it's the result of as we relate with him, we hear his heart. He tell us this is what he desire. He asks us, do you agree, Kay Chong? I say, yes, of course. Your way is higher. Your plan is the best. Send revival to Singapore, oh Father. I say, yes, I love to do it. Bam, something happened. So it's primarily relational and more than functional. And the answer prayer is the result of God's desire. That's why I call it the glory of prayer. Uncreated God, who is interesting, fascinating, beautiful, desire a conversation or a dialogue with boring me. You know, people know I'm a great introvert. I use the word great. You know, if you sit down, you got nothing to say, I got nothing to say. We are both just drink coffee. Yeah, that's how boring I am. And God desired to talk to me. I said, God, I got nothing to say. Yeah, but I got something to say about you. He said, oh man, what do you have to say about me? Oh, I mean, that's me. That's how you look at me. Say, oh God, I praise you. My heart is so moved and so on and so on. So this is so powerful. Interesting God desired to talk to boring me. More than that, there are many scriptures I'll show you along the way over the 12 session is that he lists. No, he's not just kind of like, can you finish it so that I can do something more important? Can you finish? Talk fast. No, he listened to us with great affection and attentiveness. Psalms 56 verse 7 says, he collect every of our tears. I always hold on to that verse because when I go to eternity, I'm going to go to my cry room. Say, God, can you show me how much tears I have shed? I say, man, wow, it's a reservoir. No, that verse is not just primarily talking about God collect your tears, but the verse talks about that he listened with affection and attention. He has great, he pay great attentiveness unto us. And he respond. Wow. Do you know that prayer is a mystery? It's so simple, but it's a mystery. You know why not? God is all powerful, isn't it? He can make anything and everything happen, isn't it? But you know that God allows himself to be constrained or restrained by our prayer. Wow. You know, we never talk about it. We never really think about it. God allowed himself to be restrained by our prayers. Nothing happened when the church ceased to pray. That's true. Nothing happened. God desired to bless. God desired to heal. God desired to touch nations. But nothing happen if we cease to pray? Wow, it's like God allowed his hand to be tied at his back. Only we can lose his hand. That's the beauty and the glory of prayer. Uncreated, fascinated, beautiful God, interesting God, desire to talk with boring me. Don't look at me and say, yeah, boring you yourself too. Myself too, compared to God. I don't think that you are so interesting comparing to God. When you stand side by side with God, you really produce the poverty in the spirit. Yeah, then you say, yeah, Kichong, you are right. No. Yeah, I'm going to break down a little bit. Three aspects of prayer. Then I'm going to give you four reasons why we have to pray. Three aspects of prayers. It's vital. It's a vital key to enjoyable prayer, because Isaiah 56 verse 7, God promised that there will come to a time where prayer will be enjoyable. No, it's not about good music. Good music helps, but good music is not what Isaiah 56 talks about. It's not about harp and bow model. Harp and bow model can be harp and crow too. You know, if you go off pitch, your chord progression doesn't work. Oh man, it's a pain. But when you talk about enjoyable prayer, it's about prayer. It's about engaging with, or rather communion or conversation with, an interesting God. You're connecting with him. So there are three aspects, which is what I define. Talking with God, which is important. Talking with God. First one, of course, is talk. Okay. No, see, yeah, so simple. No, a lot of time, do you realize that we don't talk? We think. We study. We analyze. We don't talk to God. You have to talk. You have to open your mouth. I'll show you some verses along the way. You have to speak. You have to ask. Not just think. Yeah, I think God knows my need. I need, no, this is hypothetical. I need $6,000. I think God knows. He's going to answer. No, you have to say it. You have to talk. God, you are rich. Your wealth is unlimited. Will you release $6,000 to my bank account? I hope this is my prayer too. You know, tonight I go and check, see whether it happened. Yeah, yeah. No, you have to talk, not just think. Because it's a conversation, it's an interaction, it's a dialogue. No, primarily it's because God wants to relate with us. No, sometimes I think, God, why so small air? Chinese say 小气. Why so petty? No, you only know why you still want me to ask. No, because he wants to relate with boring me. Wow. So we have to talk, okay? Talking with God. Second is with, okay? Not to. That means you have to pause. Listen. We talk to him. We listen. We talk to him. We listen. Because it's always two-way. We talk to him. He listened attentively to us. He responds. There are many facets of his response. Can be he reveal his heart. He tell us how he feel towards us. He direct and guide us. He bless and answer us. He tell us what to pray. So we have to pause. You see, it's the same with our apostolic prayer. You know? Whenever we go into a prayer cycle, I always engage my heart with God. God, yes, Cynthia set the team. You need to pray for justice for Geylang. But I don't kind of, oh, justice for Geylang, that means there's a certain standard prayer. I ask God, God, do you have anything that you want me to agree with you? Sometimes God will say, Isaiah 58. Pray Isaiah 58. They say, oh, I flipped the Isaiah. Hey, I never seen this verse before. So I pray. They say, wow, tonight I must go back and search deeper about this verse. That's why God revealed. So not just talk, but talk with God. That's a two-way communication. We talk to him, we listen. And we talk to him, he also listened and pay attentiveness unto us. And then he responds. There are many ways of him responding. Third one, it's all very simple, but a lot of times we don't realize it. Third one is talking with God. Talking with God. So don't just say prayer. Talk to a person. Every time when you pray, consciously, intentionally engage your heart with God. Not just say some prayer. No, I know God is gracious. He will answer as long as you are sincere. But the key is that prayer will not be sustainable, prayer will not be enjoyable if you are not engaging a person. So I engage a person. So I tell people, don't just say prayer. Talk to a person. Engage your heart. Connect your heart with a person called God. Don't just listen to music, especially what we do. We can easily just listen to music. Wow, today the line is very good. I deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. I really deserve nothing, God. Yeah. No, when you sing even that chorus line, engage your heart to God. You're not just singing some line music, wow, Annabelle came out with a nice melody. That's a great one line. No, use that one line to talk to God. God, I deserve nothing, but you show me mercy. Wow. So it's talk with God. Two-way communication. Talk with God. Let's go to the next thing about prayer. Next thing about prayer. Every believer is called to pray with no exception. Everyone. Brand new believer, or you want to say brand old believer. Everybody is called to pray. No one graduate from prayer. Everyone, I'll give you the reason why. Everyone is called to pray. Brand new, brand old, mature, immature, hot, cold. Maybe that's the reason why you're cold, because you're not praying. All the more you need to pray. Mature, immature, full-time minister, part-time minister, no-time minister. You need to pray. Jesus was very busy, but he find time to withdraw to the mountain to pray. Every believer is called to pray. You know, this statement is, I'm not an intercessor. Unbiblical. I show you from the Bible. There's no one verse in the Bible that say prayer is a gift. There are 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about it in Romans 12. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 12. He mentioned a little bit in Ephesians 4. There's no one gift that's called prayer. You know why? Everybody is supposed to pray. Because prayer is the vehicle that connects us to God. The moment you don't pray, you disconnect with God. Everybody is an intercessor. That's why Isaiah 56 verse 7, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Because everybody, so about 14 years ago when I came back, start house of prayer. So everybody tell me, Kichong, you must gather all the intercessors. And no. I'm not gathering all the intercessors. I'm gathering everyone. Because everyone, I'm going to convert everyone to become an intercessor because everybody is called to pray. So get this right. Write this down. This is a very valuable statement. Okay, go back and preach it. Yeah. Every believer is called to pray. Not an option. No exception. Second, every believer is called to grow in our life of prayer. No one outgrow a lifestyle of prayer. No one say, oh, I pray enough already. Because prayer is not just a seasonal calling. Prayer is forever. Okay, I'm going to make a huge statement. Don't throw a chair at me first. Okay, let me finish this. Explain to you. If you want, you can write down. Okay. Being a person of prayer is the most, let me say correctly. Yeah, maybe I should put on a helmet before a chair comes. Okay. Yeah, but don't throw a chair until I answer, explain. Being a person of prayer is the most important calling for every believer. I say, did I hear it right? Yes. Being a person of prayer is the most important calling for every believer. I say most important. I did not say highest. Yes, different of us have different calling. Maybe some in the marketplace, some pastors, some musicians, and so on and so on. But regardless of whether you are preacher, teacher, in the marketplace, or whatever, that is the most important calling for every believer. Not the highest. Because God may call you to be a teacher. God may call you to whatever. That is your highest calling.
but is the most important, because whether you are a teacher, whether it's in MOE or in One Thing Ministry, whether you are a musician, worship leader in Marketplace, you need to pray. It's your most important calling, not the highest. Got it?